Okay, Tom, who's teaching us sales today?
Kel, today we actually have a husband and wife duo, the Lou Everett Group. We've got Lou Everett and Sherry McManus.
Husband and wife like us.
Absolutely. Yeah, just like, they're going to talk to our listeners. It's really interesting. They're going to talk about being a husband and wife working together. I probably should have asked you, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, right now you're doing most of the work. I'm just here for support.
But that's an important part. I mean, that was my role for the 20 years you were raising our kids, right? I was
True. So I guess we make a really good team.
yay team.
Yay
It's
team.
an important part, but we are enjoying working
We
closer
are.
together than
We
we have in
are.
a long time,
Yes, we are.
which is great, even before the pandemic.
True. And we still like each other.
Yes, we do. And and that's so important. One of the things they're going to talk about, which really I thought was fascinating, and I hope our listeners enjoy listening to. Their mission is to transform people into true leaders,
Okay.
transforming them into leaders. And one of the things Sherry really talks about is this thing called microwave management.
Microwave management.
Yeah, microwave management. Think about it. Nowadays, everybody wants instant gratification. They want results. They want it right away today.
And that's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do, and it's not going to last. Long term for your business, a microwave approach is not going to make a leader.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so I really like the way she's going to talk about that. They're also going to talk about how to connect and how to not just communicate with people, but truly connect with the people that you're leading. And for our listeners, I think this is important, whether
Okay.
you're a sales leader today, whether you aspire to be a sales leader, or you just want to be a better teammate. These are things everybody can take
True.
home with them every day.
So true. All right. Well, let's listen.
Let's go. You're listening to
Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
a show for sales pros, sales leaders, and small business owners.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And I'm Tom Bloomer.
And we believe life is sales.
And that sales should be fun and rewarding. So subscribe today.
And engage with us on LinkedIn and Instagram. And now, Tom, let's get to today's show.
Okay, Kelly.
Hey, it's Larry Long Jr. from Durham, North Carolina. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
So good morning. We are here today with Sherry McManus and Lou Everett from the Lou Everett Group. Guys, I've been looking forward to today. We've been connected on LinkedIn for a couple months now, and I look forward to your content. Most of my career was spent in sales leadership. I'm in sales, but my true passion is in leadership. And so I really enjoy the content that you put out, your Tuesday thoughts that you share with the group. It seems like your tagline is transforming today's leaders. So why don't you share with our group, how did that start, and how do you do that?
Yeah, not a problem. You want to go ahead and do our tell a little bit about
Yeah.
us, and then we can talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks again for having us on. It's been a pleasure and I love following you and what you have provided just to give value to your audience. So it's been amazing. But yes, so here we are. My name is Sherry McManus and this is Lou Everett. And yes, we are a husband and wife duo. Lots of folks ask us that. They're like, oh, we
Now,
are Lou.
that's got to be fantastic, right? So for the people out there that aren't working with their spouse, is it
Right.
great, or is it crazy?
Well, we actually found out in 2005 when we first went into business with one another that this could work, that we can actually work well together and capitalizing on each other's strengths. So it's actually a blessing once you understand each other and understand what each other's strengths are and how to capitalize on that and what they don't like to do and what they do like to do so that the other person can handle those things that they don't like to do. So we make a very good pair, really good team. And Sherry does an amazing job with getting us connected and everything else. So it's amazing. I recommend it if you can to do that, but not everyone has that ability. Not
It's not
everyone,
for
it's not for
everyone.
everybody, and it takes some work, but we do really well at it. And we love doing it.
Fantastic.
So, but as Sherry was, so we are executive leadership and personal development coaches and corporate trainers. Our biggest focus is to help small businesses with leadership development and effective communication to really prevent things like toxic culture and miscommunication and all of those things. And at the same time, we also add on, we have an add-on of compliance trainings like diversity and inclusion that we've added on to do, partnered with some experts in the D&I space to be able to provide that type of training so that we can then understand, okay, what can we do inside the company to make sure that we are more of a diverse and inclusive environment, which I firmly believe is a big part of really being a successful leader, is being able to look at it from the true aspect of what it really is and anything that we do. So that's a kind of an abbreviation of what it is that we do. But thank you for pointing out our tagline, transforming today's leaders, because we, as leaders, we're constantly transforming. And more than we realize as leaders, we need to really look at, look to others so that they can look at it from a different perspective, from another bird's eye view, to help us really begin to continue to grow, because our transformation lasts all the way up until we're no longer here, right? And so that is pretty much in a nutshell what it is that we do. And we really can't thank you enough for having us here.
No, I'm enjoying it, and I think we're going to have a great time, and there's going to be some really good information, because we're always trying to grow our listeners that are small business owners, you know, because small business sales is vital to them, right? They need to be able to market their business. I love the way you talk about what you're doing with D&I and things like that. Most small business owners, they were never trained in that, right? So right. How many of them even realize that there's so much they need to learn?
Yeah, that's a very true. And you know what it is? We don't know we don't know. And as we grow in a business, our goal, Sherry and our company's goal, our vision for every company is to, while we also support, and we have leader, we coach those in the C-suite level, in large corporations, which is also a very good sweet spot for us, because that's where I come from. But we have a very special place in our heart for small business, those individuals that have just a small group of people that they're just starting out, or they've just started two and a half years in, they've got a couple of employees, and they're wanting to grow, and they see their vision of growth. And we get stuck in those certain things as we grow, right? We get stuck. And so we like to be able to clear back those weeds of unstuckness to be able to see truly what it is that their empowered future holds for their business. And things like diversity and inclusion and other types of compliance training, but even more on the mindset side of it. You know, we all know that as growing a business is a challenge. And so we need to build a clear, not that you don't know how to or what it is that you have to do, perhaps, but we need guidance in that direction to really be able to see what it is that looks like before it happens. So we don't really know what we don't know until we can sit down and really connect with somebody like us, which we've done. That's how we've gotten where we are with the mentors and coaches we've had over the years to grow and understand where it is we need to be and what we need to do to get there.
I think it's important for people to realize that there are people like you that can help them, right? And it must be great when you're working with that small business owner and they start to see how you're transforming them, and they've got to be very appreciative, and it will impact their business. Even if they have just a handful of employees, that can have a huge, has what's going on now with 2020, has that changed how you're getting out there and working with the business owners?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, taking advantage of the fact that there's a lot of more virtual than more than ever. And it has become a lot easier to really get connected with people, especially utilizing LinkedIn. I was reaching out to a lot of LinkedIn folks and a lot of, you know, folks I just wanted to actually just have a conversation with. We're not the type that's just going to go right in and go for a sale. That's not how it works. It's not our purpose. It's to actually build rapport, build possible collaborations, and then see, you never know who somebody else knows. And that's what it really stems from. In the beginning of COVID, it was kind of a slow, you know, oh, I don't have time, I'm too busy. And then now everything has come to a screeching halt that people did have the time. So we've been very blessed to have these lots of one-on-one conversations that has led to many wonderful opportunities that I wouldn't have met before, and another avenue, you know, either a podcast or maybe a, you know, lunch and learn opportunity or something that I would have never even tapped into. So it has been a really great journey.
In the beginning, we're very fortunate to have really good, solid mentors and coaches. We each have coaches as well to help us in our business and our empowerment life, things like that. We have sales coaches. I have a speaker coach. We have a coach to help us with our coaching piece of it. But we have mentors that right as COVID began to kind of unfold, they could foresee, because leaders, we're trained. We've been training for years for crisis.
Mm-hmm. We have been.
Yeah. And when that happens, that's the time for us to really thrive. And it separates the pretenders from the players, doesn't it? And so we were very fortunate to have players as mentors that said, hey, we're foreseeing this is going to happen. And we want to encourage you to give what you can give to help people to get through this process, to get through this crisis. And that's exactly what Sherry and I did. We sat back and said, what can we do to add value to people, to just do what we can to connect with them and understand that where they're at, sometimes they can't see what's beyond the current situation, and how can we help them get through it? And so that's what we did. We provided many avenues up to this point, and still do, for those to connect with us and just to have conversations. We provided free webinars and free trainings and free masterminds to help people kind of get through the negativity of what might be surrounding them. And that really has benefited so many people. And that's really what our goal is to transform people. And you can't transform if you're not going to be giving of yourself and connect. So it's been a blessing for us. We have received new clients in the process, and we're very blessed for that. And we have clients that have seen upwards of 550% growth this year. Because of the connections that we've worked with them. So it's been a blessing.
And it's interesting, you know, I've seen some of your posts, and as you're talking right now, you talk about the difference between communication and connection. So to me, that's such a critical thing. So can you kind of explain the differences?
As I mentioned to you earlier before we started taping, my dad was in the Army. Mm-hmm. And anyone who has had Army parents knows that at least, you know, that generation anyhow, his way of communicating was the Army way of communicating, right? There was a lot of yelling in my household growing up. My dad loved us. Right. He loved us. We knew he loved us. That wasn't a question. He never abused us, but that's how he communicated. He yelled what he wanted to have done. And it was, Do as I say, not as I do. Here it is. Get it done. I don't want any excuses. Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's his way of communicating. Now, is it effective? Well, that can be debatable depending on the generation we come from, right? Because
it was when you were a young child.
It was when I was young.
Very effective.
It was. I did not want to make it mad, right? But now, when you connect with people, so we're looking at it now from even though that's a little humorous, we look at it from the realistic point of view. Let's look at it from a leadership perspective. Now we've got things that we can say, here's a policy manual. Follow this, do as I say, not as I do, right? That's communicating. We're telling our team what to do, how to do it. But are we connecting with them so that they do it because they want to, not because they have to? There's the big difference between communication and connecting. Connecting is all about influence. I call it the big I, influence. How we influence other people in a way that's positive, that creates results because they want to do the work, not because they have to do the work. They follow you because they want to, not because they have to, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess that, and that's a big difference, I guess, in short term versus long term. You know, you might communicate and hand me that rule book and say, here's how you do your job, Tom. I may do it, but then you're going to wonder why in 6 months I went to another company, you know, because I wasn't getting that positive influence.
Right. Yeah. Or even better, even worse yet, why you weren't performing higher than they expected you to perform, even though they weren't providing you and equipping you and giving you the insight that you needed to know to do that. And not only that, too, if you really wanted to follow that person and your manager and your leader wanted to be there, you would have found ways to improve. And that's the big difference. big difference. That's how we keep and retain people, but it's about influence, about connecting with them on a really, really solid level.
Now, I spent years working with a lot of small business owners. All right, that's what I did, selling advertising every day. I sold it to local mom and pops. Mm-hmm. And a lot of your small business owners, they're a certain breed, right? They're risk takers. They're usually very confident. I would say they had pretty good egos. And that's what probably led them into going to business for themselves. So let's talk about your upbringing. Did that help you so that when you get with a small business owner now, you've got to kind of break through so that they understand they can't just hand me that rule book and expect that it's going to happen, right? So has that helped you to how you work with a small business owner and show them ways to transform?
Oh yeah, I think both of our backgrounds have done that. It's and it would be silly for us not to use that type of experience, right? You know, and my experience, growing up, that was just one aspect. We've got both of us have stories that we could tell probably at another time that really show the impact and influence that we've been able to understand over the years, to understand the challenges of just people. Because you have to understand, right? You know this, that the small businesses are made up of people. We call it a small business, but you remove the people, it's no longer a business, right? The people are what matter. We need people. And the realization over the years, my experiences, Sherry's, her experiences, realize that when you can value people, then that value is what provides for your business. You can't value other people if you don't value yourself, though, right? It starts with us as the leader. It starts there, right in the center. And when we can understand that we are that centerpiece and we can use who we are and grow ourselves so we can grow our teams. If we don't do that and we expect instant results, which is very common. Let's be factual here. You know, especially
society today.
Yeah. Everything's instant.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything is instant, you know, and it's just like, you know, instant rice, we got instant popcorn, we got the microwave, you know, and we're falling into this trap of, you know, microwave management. And I'm sorry to tell you, that's a short-term result. Mm-hmm. It's not a long-term mentality. And, you know, and that's why we're here to share as much as we can to allow people to realize the difference between it. We like to say it's a slow brew. You know, it's that crock pot mentality. You know how it is with food. When it's sitting in a crock pot, yeah, you can bake it in the oven for half the time, but there's something about it when it tastes so much better when it's sitting there and brewing, really, and cooking. So it's the same thing with management and leadership. And leadership is a huge responsibility that we have to get out of this mentality of an instant and a sales thing. You know, speaking with sales and your audience right now, people, it's the relationship, and sales is not a bad word, but we need to find the solutions with people. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that, this is a new concept. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's the question is, how well are you doing it? And thinking of the long term versus the short term.
Yeah, it's and that relationship. And I'm not going to, for me to sit here and I have a sales background too, sales management, executive level, all that. And here's the thing. There is a bottom line.
Definitely.
We all have to deal with a bottom line in a company. That's just the reality, right? You have a bottom line that you have to worry about. But here's the thing. Why do we have to trickle that down to our team? That's our burden. Mm-hmm. So how do we get the results? See, it's not about, okay, we're going to gloss over the fact that, okay, there is a bottom line. We've got to make a number. We got to have it done now because that's the pressure we're getting, right, from top down. That is positional style leadership at its finest. But either way, when you've got that, your burden and responsibility is how do I take and connect with my team to show those results? We as leaders, our burden and responsibility is to balance out the bottom line with our relationship with our team and growing them. We've got to balance that. If we aren't prepared to do that part, and we're going to trickle that down and begin now having toxicity, demands, do as I say, get this number by tomorrow without the connecting, without bringing those relationships in, guess what? You're not fit to be a leader. And I did say that out loud. Mm-hmm. we're responsible, or we need training, or we need equipping, we need something. If you find yourself as a leader not sleeping at night, your stomach is upset all the time, you have trouble eating, you can't, you go to work stressed all the time, and yet
you've just described every leader I've ever met.
That's exactly right.
That's it. Yeah.
But does it have to be, is the question. And right. it doesn't it doesn't have to be lonely at the top. It's about us connecting with the people and realizing that we have that responsibility to equip, train, get them to where they need to be, and have them influence them to where they want to do the work for you, not that they have to, right? Mm-hmm. That makes it a lot easier to sleep at night when you know your team is on your side.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it a few seconds ago. You talked about no matter what is on your burden, right? No matter what you're dealing with, when you open that office door or when you pick up the phone with your team, you have to put on a whole different face, right? Now you're putting on a show. Things are great. Let's be motivating. Let's go out, because they can't solve your burdens unless they're out there and they're excited and they're motivated. And if they just listen to you rant about what corporate just did to them, you know, nobody's going to be successful. It's the old Zig Ziglar, Lou, if you remember, Sherry, the old Zig Ziglar kick the cat story.
Yes.
We don't have time to go through it today, yeah. But you know, that was one that always made a mark with me, if you know that story.
Yeah, no, it's very true. You know, it's interesting because we want to, you know, leaders, we want to, for some reason, we hear this term all the time, push them.
Yeah.
Push them to get their goal. We want to push them. Leaders don't push. We're leaders, not pushers.
Yeah.
A leader's in front, guiding them along, helping them up, giving them the footstool to get there, equipping them, being in the mix. That's a leader. We don't push, we lead.
Now, do you work with a leader or do you... They have teams, and their teams are all different personalities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you show a leader how to work with the different personalities they have? Because there are some salespeople I worked with that they did need that little extra push. You know, they maybe needed that little bit of a different approach, almost the military approach, and then they would be successful. But if I use that same approach with someone else... Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't get anything done for 3 days because they felt that I was upset with them. So
right.
How do you teach that to a young leader or a transforming leader?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's a good question. And to clarify, you know, not that there's some people that don't need a little quote unquote push, mm-hmm. right? But by us finding out what it is that's going to help them tick to get them there, that's being the leader, right? So understanding that. And when we do that is understanding each person's communication style. See, we will invest hours of time in learning our role as a leader, right? We want to know how to please those, the ones that manage us, the leading up. We find the best practices for what we do. But what about the best practices for our team? How often do you sit down and really get to know them? Say, well, what do I look at? How do I look for those different communication styles? Because as you said, you can't communicate the same way with every single person on a team. There are going to be different variations of what drives them, what inspires them, what type of verbiage can you use, what's your inflection in your voice? So you have to lower it, you have to talk slower, you have to be more mild. Well, how do you know that? Well, as a leader, our responsibility is to find out what that communication style is with them, whether it's using communication assessments, or whatever it might be to help us out. Bring someone in like us or somebody else will come in and help give you that identifying, sit down with you and give you that guidance and training to equip you to understand how can you identify new members of your team without necessarily taking forever to find out. And there is a way to do that. Once you understand how to connect with people, and you can understand how to connect with people, then all of a sudden, the first 5 minutes of your time with them, you'll understand exactly how to communicate. But we have to do one thing first, and that's listen.
Yeah. And they're going to show us how to properly lead them if we care enough and we truly try to connect and learn what they're looking for. So that, mm-hmm. So let me ask you, you're talking about some very important communication and connecting skills. I'm wondering how teachable they are, you know, because I see a lot of people that become a leader and they nobody trains it, right? There aren't many good management courses out there. Most people, they excel at something. Their business needs a leader. So they say, Mary, you're the leader now. And then they go out. So what I've seen is Mary has her own personality, right? So she has, you know, different things that she works with. How teachable is all this, and how do you go about doing that?
Well, it's like that trial by fire kind of a scenario,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. And I know I, in my past, you know, in my careers and beginning of my career, I was all, you know, I was all into the trial by fire. I didn't like it, but it was just, I thought that was just the way, you know, I had leaders that's what they did. And you either sink or swim. And then you just kind of, luckily I swam and I did really well, but that doesn't work for everybody. And, you know, we have to understand that, you know, there's different, the generations that we have to be as a leader to understand what motivates each generation, what are the characteristics of each person. And, you know, we sometimes are these executive types or management, they're like, well, I'm connecting with them. Remember, we have one example. They're like, well, I'm connecting. I'm reaching out by email. I'm connecting with them. Isn't that enough? Or I send them a gift card, you know, for the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, no, like that's a big difference. And, you know, so that's why Lou's going to talk about a little bit about the teachable, but also the five factors of connecting in a minute. But that's so important that this is beyond. We're going to give you some concrete examples. If you're in this type of role or wanting to learn more, you know, take a listen.
That's true. And the you hit it right on the head there, though, about here's Mary's a high performer. She's been doing this for a while. Let's put her in this role. And then, of course, there's no leadership rule book. Right. And we have to find out. But it is teachable. And to kind of circle back there, it is teachable. It's a 100% teachable skill, connecting. We mentioned before about influence and how we have to use our influence on purpose in a positive way. We're not talking about manipulation here. We're talking about truly wanting to value people and see them grow, because the reality of it is we're not going to be in our position forever. We're going to want to retire. We're going to want to move up. We're going to want to move in some fashion or sell our business, whatever it might be. So we need people to do that. So interesting thing is, right, if I was to ask every one of your listeners now and take a poll on how many believe and feel that they're logical beings, are we logical? Do you think logically? Do you make logical decisions? I'm willing to bet you some are going to say yes, some are going to say no. And here's the reality of it is that is a whole, that's a big facade. Humans are not logical beings. No matter how much you think, we're emotional beings. We make decisions emotionally. If just for proof of that, turn on your television. Why is it that there's things on the media is always on an emotional level? Because we are emotional beings, right? So the reality of it is we're emotional beings. We need to fully, though, understand how to connect with people on a level that's going to understand that and understand that everyone sees things differently. We can take one specific thing, and it's, I look at an image. I use this analogy a lot. There's an image. If you take a look at this at some point, I'll show you it. But there's an image. And if you look at one image, some will see that there's two faces looking at each other. Other people will see the exact same image, that there's like this big urn in the center or a candlestick in the center. That's what they see first. But it's the same exact image.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that everyone sees things differently as a leader.
They don't see it the exact same way I see it.
Right. Believe it or not, isn't it amazing? It's crazy how we as a leader, that people don't see things the way we see them sometimes, right? That's and as a leader, it is our responsibility to be okay with that and to put our ego aside. Yeah, because it's not about us, it's about them.
Absolutely. And that takes a little bit for leaders to learn. And mm-hmm. and so many leaders, they got to that. We talked about Mary a second ago, high performer. She can't just assume that everybody she's working with is also a high performer the same way. Mm-hmm. And boy, I've seen so many Marys really frustrated because they want to be a good leader, but they don't understand why their people aren't doing it the way they do it. And it's right. You know, it's got to be an eye-opener for them to see that image and to look at it from that other perspective.
Yeah, it takes a very special person to do that. And that special person is who's willing to send back and understand those differences to be able to connect on a level that truly values them. And then that way, that communication is influenced in a way that gets results. And the person, the special person that can do that and take that time and energy to do that with their people, that is a leader. If that doesn't happen, I'm sorry, but a leader then at that point is only your title. Listen, I've made mistakes as a leader at the executive level, at middle management level. I've made every mistake you can imagine. As we move through that, understanding that when those mistakes happen, what do you do with them? Do you expect that you're, why is my team just not performing? It's got to be this person. It's got to be that person. It's got to be this person not doing X, Y, Z. No, no, it's not. It's here.
All comes back what to accountability.
That's it. If they're not doing that, what have we equipped them? Have we provided that equipping? Have we influenced them to say, man, I just love working for this person. And it's funny, and I'll give a quick personal story. You know, we'll go back to one of my very, very, very first management role as a leader back when I was 18 years old in a music store.
Which music store? Because I found out earlier.
Strawberry's Music in Southington, Connecticut.
All right. I worked for a We Three Records, so I just figured.
Oh, okay.
So this is way back.
And I remember, you know, and there it's like, oh, you know, you made it. It's like, I was excited, you know, and what do? You tell people what to do. You don't know any different. That's what you think a boss does. Tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. You can't come in. You can't come in on that scheduled day. Sorry, if you don't come in, I'm going to have to write you up. Well, needless to say, I certainly lost a lot of good people. And that did not look good. And my manager obviously told me, listen, you got to be flexible. So I had to learn as we go through that. And then fast forward to just, you know, several years ago and my last executive role, someone that came to me and says, you know, Lou, I want to tell you that working with you does not feel like it's work. I want to work with you. You see, that's where we need to have all of our, not everyone's going to be Pollyanna hooray every day, but we want to get them to understand that we care for them. Even when we have to have those difficult conversations, there's a way to do that shows we care. Because we're connecting with them and it makes it a lot easier to have those difficult conversations when we've connected with them and they respect us for it. Makes our job a lot easier. So it is teachable, and we definitely as leaders need to take that to heart as a big part of our responsibility to equip our teams.
I think you talked early on that, you know, we don't know what we don't know. Yeah. I think your best leaders, they either know that or they learn it very early on. And, you know, I think to me, that's one of the huge benefits of programs like yours. We can either become a good leader after three decades of learning from our own mistakes, or we can realize early on, you know what, let me get a mentor. Let me find some people that can save me time and develop me quicker than me having to make every mistake that so many of us had to learn, you know, over the years on our own.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do it on your own?
Right. we need people. And here's the thing. There's so many, you know, resources out there, right? I mean, every day I know we turn around and there's like a free this or free that, and that's great. Or books to read. There's so much out there. Mm-hmm. However, how many times that we've read something, read a book or read an article or went through a program or bought a program, and then it sits on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And that is the key. If you want to keep growing as a leader, don't think that you're the expert and the guru. I'm like, oh, that's it. And I've learned everything. Mm-hmm. That is a dangerous spot to think.
Yeah.
And it's a journey. It's all the time you have to keep. It's that curious mindset. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. We have the shelf on a help kind of thing that's just sitting there. But the key is to apply that. If you're in a team right now, how can I apply that? Even if you're not in a manager type role, you can still influence your own your teammates. Mm-hmm. Hey, I read this really great book. Here's some tips I learned.
Or is a program.
Here's a program.
Get them all involved.
And here's what I learned from it. Here's my take. and share some tidbits. If it helped you, why hold that back? Mm-hmm. Right? So applying it is key. You know, we like to say sometimes we're, you know, you have all this knowledge and then we keep it all to ourselves. It's like putting a beautiful package together, a beautiful present and a bow and everything, and then not giving it to someone. Mm-hmm. How disappointing is that? Mm-hmm. You put all that time and energy and work and then you're like, nah, I'm just going to hold it to myself.
That's where the ego comes in.
Yep, that's where the ego comes in.
I want to be the only one that knows.
That kind of leads us to, you know, we're talking a lot about connecting, but you've got five key factors, right? That yep. that each of our people today, if they're, instead of them just listening to the podcast, what are the five things that they really need to note that are going to make them a better connector today?
Yeah, well, and there are several, and I encourage anyone who's listening to add to this as you start getting your mind wrapped around this, because this is important. So I would pause for a second, get your notepad out on your computer or write something out, because these are five factors that great connectors up to this point in my career and in my life have drawn upon to cause people to listen to them. And that's what leaders need. We want people to listen to us, right? Not in a demanding way, but in a way that's going to inspire growth and inspire productivity. So number one is relationships, right? Who you know. And so really who you know can open the door for you to connect with someone, right? I'm a perfect example. We've met you. Now we're on your podcast and we're now opening the door for many, many, many hundreds of people to be able to connect.
I'm expecting another. A very nice Christmas card, by the way, but you know, no pressure.
That's right. You know, and things like that. We met with somebody we met a year and a half ago, Joe Navarro. I'll plug his name, but we connected up with him and once again, and we did we partnered and did a really awesome event on this exact topic. So again, it's who you know can connect you to other people, right? Relationships. That's number one. It's okay. One factor. Factor okay. Number two. Now these aren't in any hierarchy order. These are all equally important. Number two is insight. Insight. That's what you know. So relationships is who you know. Insight is what you know.
Okay.
Right. If you share an area of expertise generously, it gives people reasons to respect you. You know, you have that sense of connection. Like Shari was saying, hey, I've learned this. I want to empower you now with this information. And you give that generously to people. Then that'll create that sense of connection. Hey, you know what? I think the Lever Group will know this. And they're going to connect with us and find out. See, and that's what we want to have with people.
Doesn't do any good to have those insights still all nicely wrapped in the box and you're not sharing them with anyone, right?
Doesn't do any good. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. You know, it's what you know, right? What you know. Number three, success. Success is what you have done. What you've done. So, you know, people want to be successful. That's why everyone's listening to your podcast. That's why we're all here. We strive every day to be successful in whatever it is that we seek out. They seek out others then who are successful to get that advice. So if you're successful in anything that you do, then there's going to be people that want to listen and connect with you. Right? That's what they're going to want to do. So success is a big factor that great connectors draw upon. You're successful, they're going to want to reach out to you to gain knowledge to be successful as well. As a leader, that should be our prime goal. What can we learn so we can give it to others on our team? So you're only can give at the limit of your own growth.
Now, and I saw that in so many places. You're a lot of really good leaders. Mm-hmm. We're able to show what made them successful. You know, if you're a leader in a certain industry and you've spent a lot of time in that industry, boy, people can see that. You know, they want to hear you talk. They want to learn from you. So having that success and then being able to communicate it has got to be critical for most leaders.
Right. Agreed. And with that, you know, you have, you know, that's what you have done, right? Success is a big part of it. But then, now another factor, the fourth factor, ability. Ability. So this is what you can do. What you can do. You see, excellence connects, doesn't it? You know, what other people can do connects you with them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, so in other words, others may want to connect with you because of your ability in a certain area. Like you're strong in a certain area. And individuals that perform at that high level often have instant credibility because they're performing at that level. They have this an innate ability, and people admire them for that. And they want to be like them. And when they speak, other people listen. Here's a great example of ability. Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan, I'm sure that if anybody in your podcast does not know Michael Jordan, I mean, it's a huge name, but Michael Jordan was one of the most famous basketball players.
For some reason, I'm thinking basketball, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. Basketball, right? We did a pivot here. But see, Michael Jordan makes more money from endorsements than he's ever done in his basketball career. Is it because of his knowledge of the products or because he uses them? Not at all. It's because of what he can do with a basketball. It's the people that know him for his ability that want him to speak for them.
So there's a certain trust. Is that they trust him, respect him because they've seen that ability? Is that?
That's right. That high level of credibility. They have instant credibility because of his high level of performance.
And he always had a coach. Just because he had ability and a really great ability, mm-hmm. he still had a coach and still was disciplined in all the good habits, and it compounded to be the great basketball player
and businessman at that point. Yeah. Now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as great as he was, you did see a little bit of a difference when he got a little bit of a better coach as well.
That's right.
You know, no matter how much talent you have, you do need that right coach.
100% agree. Yeah. So. And then the fifth.
He's not playing today, though.
I'm sorry?
It's a shame he's not playing today with the salaries today. He wouldn't need to do anything else.
Oh, man, sure. The endorsements wouldn't be neat. But, but he's made some very wise choices, though. I respect it. I respect it. Yeah.
Greatest ever.
Yeah, I agree.
So number five. So we've got relationships, insight, success, ability. Number five?
Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is how you have lived. Right? So if you've made sacrifices, you've suffered tragedy or maybe overcame very painful obstacles, people relate to you. Right? But yet you've been able to maintain positivity. You've been able to be humble through those difficulties. Other people are going to admire you and want to connect with you because of your experience, because of your sacrifice. What you've had to sacrifice to live for what it is that you live for. And they connect with you because of that sacrifice. See, Sherry, in 2018, because of toxicity in her work environment, where the company that she had worked with at that time ended up in the hospital for 10 days in the burn center and at the ICU. Didn't know if she was going to live or die. Had no idea what was going on. Some rare disease came out of her getting a cold and turning into pneumonia because of all the stress and the pressure that was put on her from a toxic environment. It turned into this rare disease that destroyed all of her mucous membranes. She possibly could have been blind, could have died. We had no idea whether she was going to live, whether she was going to die. 10 days, miraculously, she was able to come home with very minimal damage. Now, all the damage that she has is a chronic cough occasionally. That's only residual from it at this point. You see, and then that is at that moment when we sat back and realized that it is this, what are we doing, not going out and changing and transforming environments like this. And that is the sacrifice we made to be places like this here. You see, it's sacrifices and obstacles and tragedy that connects people to understand what it is we come from and why we do what it is that we do.
How many potential Sherrys you're going to save in the future from
that? That is our mission.
And the more that we share that story, the more that people have actually have something similar. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's not that extreme, but have been in those extreme cases, except for the hospital, but in that mental state,
right,
or, you know, getting to that physicalness. And then they had to take a step back and time out going, wait a minute, is this job even worth it? Yeah. Is this even keeping me happy anymore? And you had to really step back. So there are tons of my stories that are out there, mm-hmm, and we have to keep sharing that. And that sacrifice is so important, to know that you're not alone. And there's people like us that can help, mm-hmm, and to make sure that if you're growing your business, do not make it a toxic environment, and we'll give you the skills and the solutions so you can go on a people-centric environment. Mm-hmm.
All right. So Sherry, Lou, this has been a lot of fun. We're very like-minded. I get the feeling if we didn't have a hard stop, we could probably do this for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yes, we could.
Luckily, we're not in Jersey anymore, because we would have met at a diner and they would have, uh-huh, been on the table, you know, several hours later. But before you do go today, you have a new virtual masterclass that I'm really excited, and what you told me about it. Can you share that with our listeners today?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're excited about this. And we do these master courses periodically, but this one here is very timely. And this is our live virtual communication master course for 2021. It starts Thursday, January 14th, and it's from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time every Thursday for 8 weeks. And we are going to deep dive into specific, not just these factors, but even deeper in qualities of communication, how to connect in a way that communicates, how to use our influence on purpose. This communication course specifically is geared towards leaders, whether they're small business or corporate suite. And also, this is good for couples, because communication, if you look at it, and once you learn these skills and in these particular techniques, can be used in every relationship that you're in, with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with those that you work with, leading up to your manager. So we're really excited to be able to share our experiences and our knowledge with y'all with this program. And it comes with a lot of cool stuff, a lot of freebies, you know, what I call freebies anyway, but they're bonuses. You know, it comes with a DISC assessment. So now we talked about that earlier about, okay, well, where do we start? Well, you got to know you first. So you get a communication and leadership assessment with it to give you kind of a guide of where you are. Because that assessment doesn't just say, oh, I'm good here, I'm good here. It says, well, how do you now communicate with other people at a different level? So now you know how to communicate. And we take a deep dive through that. And we each get a debrief session with us too. So you get to sit down with us and we get to rehash all that to work through that. Okay, this is how you would communicate. These are your strengths. This is how you can capitalize on those things. So this master course truly is a transformational master course if you invest in yourself and invest in the time to truly learn about you and how to connect with others.
Fantastic. That self-awareness is so critical, and the fact that you're including that to show them and debrief, so you need to know yourself first, right? If I'm going to help others and work with others, I need to understand myself. And
100%.
So we'll include the link to that course in our show notes. It's going to be starting in a couple of days now, which is great. How else can our listeners reach out to you? You're on our website, but where else can they find out more about the Lou Everett Group?
Well, LinkedIn and Facebook.
Yep. LinkedIn, Facebook, and
just Google
our website, you know, louevergroup.com. Mm-hmm. And our information is right there, right on the first page.
Yep. You can Google us too.
Yep.
And we show up. So, and any which way, and I want to encourage anybody, hey, look, we want to hear from you. We just want to connect. Mm-hmm. So reach out, whether it's from the form on our website, or you find our email address on our website. Just reach out to us. We just want to talk to you. That's all it is. We're not a hard sales. We just like to connect with people to see what we can do to help you.
No, absolutely. And I would encourage anyone who's not already following you on LinkedIn, you daily motivational stuff, leadership traits pretty much every day. So, you know, they're going to find that as a way to open them up, get them thinking, and share them some valuable insights. So, guys, thank you very much for spending time with us today, and hopefully we'll do this again in a couple months.
That would be great.
That would be awesome. Thank you
so much. Thank you for having us.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.